Picture a gusty afternoon, windsocks standing straight out, snapping at the tip. You've just done your run-up, you're cleared to taxi, and you're rolling toward the runway feeling pretty good about yourself. Then a gust catches you from behind and off to the side. And for just a second, the airplane feels light on one main. Wing wants to lift. Your stomach drops. Here's the thing, that moment was preventable. And the fix costs you nothing but a habit. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, right here on Radio Hangar. Today's tip of the day is one of those little things that separates the pilots who look smooth in the wind from the ones who get surprised by it. It's where you hold the flight controls while you're taxiing. Not flying, taxiing, on the ground, rolling along at a fast walk. Most students learn this for the check ride, recite it once, and then forget it the moment they've got their certificate. And I get it. When the wind is calm, it doesn't matter one bit. But on the day it matters, it really matters. So let's walk through this together, and by the end you'll have a rule you can actually remember with your hands, not just your head. Before I get into it, quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones that cost you real sweat and real money. AviationSoul.com. Now let's get to work. So why does this even matter? Why do we care where the yoke is when all four, or in most trainers all three, wheels are on the ground? Because your airplane doesn't stop being an airplane just because you're on the pavement. Those wings are still wings. Air is still moving over them. And a strong enough wind, especially a gust, can generate real lift and real force on your control surfaces while you're taxiing. Left unmanaged, a strong quartering gust can lift a wing, push a tail around, or in a really bad case, tip a light airplane up onto a wingtip. It has happened. It happens most often to tailwheel airplanes and to high-wing trainers with a lot of side area, but nobody is completely immune. The good news is that your ailerons and your elevator, the same controls you used to fly, can be used on the ground to keep the wind from getting under your wings and your tail. You just have to point them the right way, and that's the whole tip. Here's the rule, and I want you to say it out loud in the airplane until it's automatic. Climb into the wind. Dive away from the wind. Let me unpack that, because those four words carry the whole thing. We break the wind into two categories based on where it's coming from relative to your nose. Is it coming from ahead of you? From somewhere in front of the wingtip line? We call that a headwind component, or a quartering headwind. Or is it coming from behind you from somewhere aft of the wingtip line? That's a tailwind component, a quartering tailwind. For any wind coming from ahead of you, you turn the yoke toward the wind. Aileron up into the wind. Think of it as climbing. If the wind is coming from your left front, you turn the wheel to the left, full deflection. Left aileron goes up. Now here's why. That raised aileron on the upwind wing keeps the wind from getting under that wing and lifting it. You're using the aileron to hold the upwind wing down. When the wind is off your nose and you turn toward it, aileron up, you're climbing into the wind, yoke comes back toward you a touch too, or at least neutral to slightly aft, keeping weight where you want it. Now, for any wind coming from behind you, you do the opposite. You turn the yoke away from the wind and you push it forward. Dive away from the wind. If the wind is coming from your left rear from behind your left shoulder, you turn the wheel to the right and push forward away from the wind, nose down. Why? Because a tailwind is the dangerous one. A quartering tailwind can get under the wing from behind and under the horizontal tail, and it can try to lift the tail and shove it around. By turning the aileron down on the upwind side and pushing the elevator forward, you're presenting the control surfaces so the wind pushes them down instead of up. You're pinning the airplane to the ground, holding the tail down, keeping the upwind wing from coming up. Dive away. So there it is. Wind ahead of you. Climb into it. Turn toward the wind, yoke back. Wind behind you, dive away from it. Turn away from the wind, yoke forward. Let me give you a way to feel it instead of memorize it, because memorized rules fall apart when you're busy and the tower is talking and you're trying to find taxiway. Charlie, some old instructors teach it as, quote, dive away from a tailwind, climb into a headwind. Same thing. Others draw the little diagram with the four quadrants. And you've probably seen it in your training handbook. That clock face around the airplane with arrows showing which way the yoke goes in each quarter. That diagram is great for studying at the kitchen table. It is useless to you when you're actually taxiing, because you're not going to picture a diagram while you're steering with your feet and watching for other traffic. So here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Don't think about the diagram. Think about your imaginary wing. Ask yourself one question. Where is the wind coming from? Then decide. Is that wind trying to get under my upwind wing and flip it up? Yes, it always is a little. So put the aileron up on that slide to stop it, which means turn the wheel toward the wind that handles every headwind case in one motion. Then the second question. Is the wind coming from behind me? If yes, I've also got to protect the tail. So I push the yoke forward and I switch the aileron so it's helping hold things down, which flips me to turning away from the wind. That's the tailwind case, honestly. If you remember nothing else, remember this. Turn the wheel toward a wind that's ahead of you, push it forward and away for a wind that's behind you. The forward push for tailwinds is the part people forget, and it's the most important part because the quartering tailwind is the one that bites. Now, let me give you a real scenario because this is where it comes alive. You're at a towered field. You've landed, you're clearing the runway, and the tower says taxi to parking. The wind is out of the west at 18, gusting to 26. You're taxiing generally eastbound back to the ramp. Think about that for a second. If you're heading east and the wind is from the west, that wind is coming from directly behind you. Straight tailwind, roughly. That's a dive-away situation, yoke forward. And as you make your turns through the taxiways, the wind is going to shift from behind you to beside you to in front of you, depending on which way you're pointed. Your hands have to keep moving. That's the part nobody tells you. This is not set it and forget it. As you turn the airplane through the taxi route, the wind is constantly changing its angle relative to your nose, so your control inputs have to change too, continuously, turn by turn. On a windy day, your hand should be working the yoke the entire taxi, almost like you're stirring it slowly as you turn corners, rolling into the wind, rolling back out, pushing forward when you swing your tail into it. I tell my students, on a windy day, one hand flies the airplane on the ground the same as it flies in the air. You never stop flying. You're just doing it at 3 knots. Let me hit the 2 most common mistakes I see, because knowing the failure modes helps the rules stick. Mistake number 1. Neutral controls the whole taxi. This is the pilot who learned the rule for the oral exam and then let it evaporate. Controls just sit there centered while a 25-knot quartering gust does whatever it wants. 95% of the time nothing happens, which is exactly why it's dangerous. It trains you to believe it doesn't matter. Then one day the wind is strong enough and the gust hits at the wrong angle and a wing comes up. Mistake number 2, and this one is sneakier, getting the tailwind backward. A lot of folks nail the headwind case, turn toward the wind, no problem, but when the wind comes from behind they freeze or they turn the wrong way. Remember, quartering tailwind, you turn away from where the wind is coming from and you push forward. If you find yourself unsure, just default to protecting the tail. Push that yoke forward when the wind is behind you. Forward elevator holds the tail down, and that's the thing most likely to get lifted in a tailwind. Now, a couple of airplane-specific notes, because not every trainer behaves the same. If you're flying a high-wing airplane, a Cessna 172 or a 152, you've got a lot of wing area up high catching the wind, so this matters more for you, and the aileron positioning is doing real work. If you're in a low wing, a Piper Cherokee or a Warrior, the wings are lower and a little less exposed, but the principle is identical. Don't let the low wing fool you into thinking you're off the hook. And if you ever move into a tailwheel airplane, a Cub, a Citabria, a Champ, this stops being a nice to have and becomes survival. Tailwheel airplanes have all that side area and a light tail, and they will weather vane and tip on you if you get lazy with the stick in a wind. Every good tailwheel instructor drills this until it's reflex, and for good reason. One more layer, and then I'll bring it home. This same thinking extends right into your takeoff roll and your landing rollout. When you start a crosswind takeoff, you begin with full aileron into the wind, and as you gain speed and the ailerons become more effective, you gradually take it out so you're neutral about the time you rotate. Same idea on landing. As you slow down after touchdown, you feed the aileron back in toward the wind more and more, so that by the time you're at taxi speed, you're right back to full deflection into the wind. It's one continuous story, full deflection when you're slow, less as you speed up, and back to full as you slow down again. The taxi is just the bookends of the takeoff and the landing. The airman certification standards actually call this out. Look at the ground operations and the takeoff and landing tasks in the private pilot ACS, and you'll see positioning the flight controls correctly for the existing wind conditions listed right there as a skill element. The examiner is looking for it. On your check ride, the moment you begin to taxi in any kind of breeze, that examiner is watching your hands. If they see full aileron going into the wind and the yoke moving appropriately as you turn, they relax a little, because they know you actually understand that the airplane is still an airplane on the ground. If they see dead neutral controls in a 15-knot wind, they've just found the first thing to write down. It's a small thing that tells them a big thing about how you think, and that's really the heart of it. This tip isn't about passing a test, it's about the mindset. A good pilot never fully stops flying the airplane from the moment the wind can touch it until the moment it's chalked and tied down. Taxiing in the wind is where you prove, to the examiner and more importantly to yourself, that you get that. So here's your homework for the next windy day, and I mean actually do this. Before you even release the brakes, look at the windsock or pull up the wind on the ATIS. Say out loud where the wind is coming from. Set your controls for it right there at the run-up area. Then as you taxi, make it a game to keep repositioning through every single turn. Narrate it if you have to. Winds behind me now, yoke forward. Winds off my left nose now, turning left, yoke coming back. Do that for 3 or 4 windy flights and it stops being a thought and becomes a reflex in your hands. That's the goal, reflex, not recall. Learning to fly is hard and it is expensive, and a lot of the small habits get lost in everything else you're juggling. This is one of the cheap ones. It costs you nothing, it takes 10 seconds, and on the wrong day, it's the difference between a normal taxi and a very bad story. The wind data and the control positioning today track right with what's in the FAA's airplane, flying handbook, and the private pilot airman certification standards, if you want to go read the exact wording for yourself. You can find us anytime at RadioHangar.com. Go fly on the next windy day instead of waiting it out, and pay attention to your hands. That's where the lesson lives. I'll see you back in the pattern.